My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned. And our guest today is Bill Dorich, who has been on this program in the past and also is the author of Kosovo. Bill, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, we appreciate that you were able to be with us. Can you talk a little bit about how you came to write Kosovo? Because, of course, this book was written prior to the latest incidents that have been happening in that area of the world.
It was written in 1992. The reason for the book was in 1990 or 1991 when we had the war between the Serbs and the Croats. We had 96 Serbian churches that were destroyed. During the Bosnian Civil War in 1992, we lost 112 Serbian churches, and my fear was that if this kind of civil war decided to move south to the heart of Serbian Christianity in Kosovo, that we had over 1,000 churches there that could be literally destroyed. So that's why I wrote the book, and here we are with Kosovo currently supposedly in a peace agreement, but we have lost 18 churches in the last 10 days. We've had gang raping of our nuns, and we've had one of our priests had his throat slit because he was hiding Albanians who were loyal to the Serbian government. So my book was a little bit premature.
We're talking with Bill Dorich, who is joining us today, and we're going to try and look at what has happened in Kosovo over the last several months and also what is currently happening there, as well as taking a look at the future, what it may hold for that area of the world and for everyone involved, including, I might add, American troops, of which we have now had some fatalities, some casualties, correct?
That's correct. Two of them have been killed.
Bill, if you can, let's walk through to some degree what has happened in Kosovo from this going back to, you know, prior to the bombing and the negotiations, or the so-called negotiations. Can you talk a little bit about that from your perspective?
Sure. As far as the Rambouillet Agreement was concerned, this was a fraud from the very beginning. An insert was added to the agreement when the talks broke down in the first 10 days. If you'll recall, Madeleine Albright gave Milosevic an ultimatum: sign the Rambouillet Agreement or we bomb you. Slipped into that agreement after the 10th day of negotiations was an agreement in which 28,000 NATO troops would be allowed to occupy all of Yugoslavia, not just Kosovo. Obviously, Milosevic refused to sign such an agreement because the agreement would have given NATO full access to the entire country. It exonerated all NATO troops from the laws of the country, and it also imposed a cost on the Yugoslav government to pay for the peacekeeping agreement by NATO. So Milosevic obviously did not sign that agreement, and we bombed them. We're now finding out that Madeleine Albright was in cahoots with Thaci, the young 30-year-old who ran the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army. And this is a young man who, by the way, in recent weeks assassinated six of his commanding officers. This is, of course, done to keep anybody from rising to power but himself, sort of a tactic that the Soviets used to use. And these are the kinds of goons and thugs and Marxist drug dealers that we're now supporting in Kosovo.
Well, I would certainly like to talk more about Hashimi Thaci, because as I understand it, as you have so stated, Mr. Thaci is quite the bloodthirsty brute himself.
That's correct.
That's what I'm beginning to hear.
And another goon and thug that we've now supported, much like we supported Saddam Hussein and others like him, Duvalier and others that have been bloodthirsty criminals who we've ended up supporting.
Well, let's do this if we can, because one of the things that came to my attention and was reported by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR, out of New York, was that indeed a State Department official stated to sort of a group of pool reporters during the Rambouillet negotiations, for lack of a better word right now, that so stated straightforwardly that they had purposely, the United States had purposefully put the Yugoslavian government into a position whereby they could not agree to the accords because, quote unquote,
they needed an excuse to bomb.
They needed a little bombing to put them
back.
In fact,
Madeleine Albright said they needed a little bombing to bring them to their senses.
Right. Yeah, I know there was something like that. So that
George Kenney, who left the State Department in protest over the Bosnian Civil War, has written in the magazine called The Nation about 3 weeks ago that a journalist that traveled with the Albright Party has admitted that the goalpost was deliberately placed too high for the Serbs to be able to jump, and that this was all a ruse to get Serbians to not to agree to something so that we could bomb them. And this, by the way, violates the 1980 Vienna agreement, or the Vienna Accord, which says you cannot use coercion to extract adherence to a treaty. Well, what was that but adherence to a treaty that we were trying to extract by the use of bombing?
We're talking with Bill Doric, who is the author of the book Kosovo. Bill, let me ask you, looking at what happened now, let's talk about the bombing and let's talk about what happened to the area as a result of that from what you know.
Well, what we're finding out is Wesley Clark is a liar. I mean, the man is an out-and-out liar. He says that the Serbs killed 100,000 Albanians. We're finding out that the number isn't even 5,000. We're finding out that he and James Rubin of the State Department, who's an equal liar, said that 600,000 Albanians were internally displaced in Kosovo, and it turns out we can't come up with a figure of even 8,000. We now find out from Michael Evans of the London Times, who has spent several weeks in Kosovo since the peace agreement was signed and since the Serbian troops have come out, that Wesley Clark told us he destroyed 60% of Milosevic's army. That, too, is a bold-faced lie. They've only destroyed 13 Serbian tanks. Watson of the Los Angeles Times and a number of other journalists from the European press have reported that when the Serbian troops pulled out, there were 45,000 of them. NATO told us there were only 40,000 Serbian troops in Kosovo, so they didn't even know how many were in there, that they counted 255 Serbian tanks, 400 personnel carriers, and more than 250 artillery pieces. And what the Serbians had done is pulled the wool over NATO's eyes, and that's perhaps why they're so ticked off at the Serbs these days. Mm-hmm. The Serbs had created some several hundred tanks and artillery pieces made out of wood and canvas and were painted to look like the pieces themselves, so they were actual decoys. The Serbs also laid down black plastic sheeting to mimic blacktop roads and even built three fake bridges, all of which was destroyed by our multi-million dollar bombs. So we spent about $5 billion bombing junk. Wesley Clark was not well received in the House Foreign Relations Committee 2 weeks ago. In fact, there were 19 senators that were to hear his testimony before this illustrious group in our government, and only three of the senators were sitting in place when Wesley Clark showed up 15 minutes late. And by the time the 2.5 hour meeting had been held, there were only two senators sitting listening to Wesley Clark. So it shows you that they have little or no respect for what this man has done. I think he should be stripped of his rank and his medals taken away from him, having been hoodwinked by a two-bit country with a third-rate army that the Serbs have.
Well, certainly, I have to admit, there is a part of me that is... I'm thinking about, you know, these multi-million dollar so-called smart weapons and all of this high-tech stuff.
But they're fired by dumb people.
Well, I guess they must be. I mean, are you really sure that this happened to fire these wooden...
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been written now by four or five journalists in the region. In fact, one of them that writes for Jane's Report, which comes out of London, which is a highly respected military publication, said that he spent the last 3 weeks in Kosovo, and he's only come across two burned-out Serbian tanks.
We're talking with Bill Doric, who is joining us to talk about Kosovo, and he is the author of a book that was written prior to the war, which was entitled Kosovo. Bill, are you ready to take a phone call?
Absolutely.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of things to say, and I would enjoy...
Please make it brief.
Yeah, I will make it brief.
Okay.
You know, first thing, those people, those corpses and skeletons that are being dug up, you can rest assured they didn't bump themselves off, and we know who done it, and we call that war crimes. And me, as a relative, American-born relative, of people, my father's relatives in Kiev, Russia, that got buried alive and machine gunned before they was dead. I want to tell you, I wish we had had a president at that time like Clinton, with the guts of Clinton, to do what Clinton done instead of the panty waist Franklin Roosevelt. Now what? Here's my concluding comment.
Okay.
I want to say both of you
is
gentlemen.
Is there a question in here?
Is a question.
Go ahead.
Why don't you both put your efforts into cleaning up the corruption in American legislatures from the state, the county, and the local level, and I mean the bribe-taking that we call euphemistically campaign funds, instead of worrying about the pigeon poop or your overseas neighbor's step, worry about the dog poop on your own step.
Okay, sounds good to me. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, we tried to do that.
We tried to do that, but nobody wants to listen.
Yeah, it is kind of one of those things sometimes where people don't want to listen, and it's kind of like...
You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink.
Right, I mean, you know, we kind of do that on this program every week, but there is one thing that I do want to do, because and that is to talk about, you know, I mean, on the one hand, Bill, I'm hearing you say that, you know, this whole thing of quote unquote genocide is apparently becoming a ruse.
I mean, we even find out now that a million people were not refugees and displaced out of Kosovo. Mm-hmm. The figure is somewhere around 400,000.
Okay.
We're finding out that 100,000 people didn't die. It's more like 8,000. This is not genocide, and it really is insulting that we even use the term genocide or Holocaust, because it betrays the 13 million people who were put to death by the Germans and the Croatian and Albanian Nazis in World War II.
Let me ask you then, because that leads me to ask you about someone like Arkan and the Tiger.
Arkan is a criminal.
Yeah, Arkan is a criminal.
He's wanted by Interpol.
And he is also a paramilitary death squad leader who has been operating apparently on the behalf, okay, of people like Milosevic. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, I agree with that, but there are criminals like that on all sides, even including these Albanian drug runners. I mean, they provide 60% of the heroin for the United States and 40% of the heroin in Europe. Why doesn't that outrage anybody? Why are we supporting drug dealers?
It outrages me, and I want to talk more about the KLA, too. But what I really want to do...
But by the way, I do believe that Milosevic is a criminal and should be brought to justice. But then we can't just have one-sided justice. That's what happened at Nuremberg. We only prosecuted certain criminals, and we only prosecuted 20-some people, and then we shook our hands and patted ourselves on the back and walked away, leaving 30-some thousand criminals that were Croatian, Bosnian Muslim, and Albanians who got off scot-free. Today we have Franjo Tudjman in Croatia, who successfully cleansed 630,000 Serbs from Croatia and blew up 475,000 of their homes. Why isn't he indicted? Ala Izetbegovic, the president of Bosnia, successfully cleansed 590,000 Serbs from Bosnia and blew up 250,000 homes and 112 Serbian churches. Why isn't he an indicted war criminal? You can't have justice unless justice is equal.
Well, let me ask you, why aren't they indicted war criminals?
Well, because we propped them up. The United States helped Croatia and Bosnia do what they did to the Serbian people. Our hands are covered in Serbian blood. Our hands are covered in war crimes. We have dropped cluster bombs, which is illegal on this population. We have destroyed the infrastructure of the country, which is against the Geneva Conventions and the Helsinki Final Act. We violated every law and treaty we've signed in this century. For what? To destroy a socialist country? This is outrageous that we would do this to a country in the name of peace or democracy.
This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. We're talking with Bill Dorich, who is the author of the book Kosovo. Bill,
and by the way, the man who just called, who obviously is quite upset and probably has a right to be, how can he tell a Serbian from an Albanian when those graves are dug up? I mean, what damage did 15,000 KLA, who were well-armed, what did they do and whom did they kill? And will every grave be called a mass grave? And will every victim in those mass graves be called an atrocity when you can't tell the difference between a Serbian corpse and an Albanian corpse?
So what I'm hearing you say, just for clarity's sake for my part, is that what we are hearing is that there are most likely crimes on all sides. And what I'm hearing you say is that from your perspective, the Serbs have been singled out to be the sole and only devil in all of this.
Exactly. We now have 80,000 Serbs who've been successfully cleansed from Kosovo in the last 2 weeks, and no one seems to really give a damn. In fact, Mitch McConnell, the senator from Kentucky, has just voted a piece of legislation through the Senate on a 97-2 vote to name Yugoslavia a terrorist state. The only two senators that voted against that was Byrd of West Virginia and Mr. Smith, who's just left the Republican Party. So 97 senators voted to name Yugoslavia a terrorist state. Now, the lunacy of that is that 60% of European trade comes through Serbia down the Danube River. We now have 17 bridges on the Danube River that are down, and Vienna is already complaining of losing $10 million a day because their ports cannot operate. So how many millions a day will Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, and the Ukraine lose all the way to the Black Sea, who cannot now ship through the Danube River because those bridges are down? So in other words, we're going to punish the Serbs by naming them a terrorist state so that all communications, all travel, all trade, all reconstruction, and all humanitarian aid is brought to a screeching halt like we've done to Iraq and Iran. This means that we're going to cripple Europe, not make it prosperous.
Well, certainly, as I understand it, there has already been financial loans made to Bulgaria, I believe, to start...
No, those are part of McConnell's bill. He's going to give Bulgaria $40 million, Romania $30 million, and Hungary $20 million. But if you look at that in terms of what the sanctions have done to those three countries, they've already lost over $5 billion in the last 7 years cooperating with the sanctions against their trading partner called Yugoslavia. So their $20 or $30 or $40 million is a drop in the bucket of what they've lost.
Oh, and that's a separate issue from what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is money that has been given. Perhaps it wasn't Bulgaria; it may have been another country to explore building a pipeline to the Caspian Sea. That is Bulgaria.
Well, there's already been a plan that there's going to be a pipeline for Caspian oil to come through southern Kosovo, and isn't that interesting? Now it's occupied by NATO.
Well, and that was my point: is the fact that we begin to look at how much of this bombing and how much of this war, if you want to call it that, I mean, it's a pretty one-sided thing.
It's all economic.
Right, it's all economic, and that as many of the critics were saying, it had very little to do, if anything, with human rights.
Well,
but what really had to do
started,
was moving this
2,000 people
through.
Killed in Kosovo. Of that 2,805 were Serbians. So they were dying almost on an equal number basis. But if we're going to go to war and bomb a country for killing 2,000 people, why didn't we bomb Turkey, who killed 38,000 Kurds right. in the last 7 years and displaced 4 million? Why haven't we bombed the Sudan, where 2 million Christians have been killed in the last 9 years? And why haven't we done anything about these crimes? I mean, Rwanda is a perfect example. They killed 1 million people in 7 weeks. We didn't bomb Rwanda.
No oil pipelines to the Caspian Sea there, I would think. We're talking with Bill Dorich, who's the author of Kosovo. Bill, we talked a little bit about Hashimi Thaqi and the KLA.
Yes.
As I understand it, somebody was telling me, I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently young Thaqi hung up on Madeleine Albright not all that long ago, basically just told her, the hell with you, I don't want to hear what you have to say. This guy's really, really kind of dangerous,
He's very dangerous, and he's probably worse than Saddam Hussein and is a criminal. The man personally killed many people, including, as I said, he assassinated six of his commanding officers, so there would be no dispute as to who is in the highest rank. These are people who will stoop to anything to kill people, including their own. They killed their own Albanian people who were disloyal to their KLA cause. If a person of an Albanian worked for the Serbian government in the last couple of years, not only did he get to lose his job, but he also got killed for being disloyal to the Albanian KLA movement. We know for a fact that the State Department was in constant contact with Thaqi by cell phone, and Madeleine Albright admitted that twice on CNN. James Rubin stayed in Paris during the Rambouillet agreements to get close to Thaqi, and after the Rambouillet failed, even though they signed it, he still stayed in Paris and became very friendly with Thaqi and was in daily contact with him by his own admission. So here we have James Rubin, who has not been elected a diplomat by any House or Senate vote, was doing diplomatic service in the name of something, probably in the name of the State Department and the CIA. And we let these people get away with these kinds of things, including Madeleine Albright. This was Madeleine Albright's war. She wanted a war on the Serbs, but yet she failed to tell the American public that it was a Serbian journalist by the name of Pavle Janković, a close friend of her father's, who saved her life in World War II. And she eliminates that from her biography. It says that she went from Czechoslovakia to London. That's an absolute bold-faced lie. And she had hid the truth from her biography for 25 years. She was spirited to Belgrade by Pavle Janković, the Serbian journalist, who then got them secreted to Cairo and from Cairo to London. Why is that left out of her biography?
Well, that's a good question. I don't really have a good answer for that.
It
other
didn't
than
come out until I wrote an article
out
about this in 1993. Then finally, Michael Dobbs, 4 years later, said that she was Jewish, and she says, "Why, I'm surprised." I called Madeleine Albright's office, and I said, "I'm surprised she has the chutzpah to lie this well." She knew in 1993, when I wrote the article about her being Jewish, that she was Jewish 4 years before she admitted it. Why was that such a secret?
Well, what would be her investment in trying to cover that up?
Well, there were a lot of people during the Second World War who pretended to be Roman Catholic.
Oh, yes, I understand
that. Pretended to be anything but a Jew.
Yes, I understand that.
Their lives,
yes.
And I don't blame them for doing it. But those people, when the war was over, reverted back to their religious beliefs and their faith and admitted to who they were. Madeleine Albright didn't, because she came to the United States at a period of time after World War II when it was not politically correct to be a Jew. So therefore, she hid her Jewish background as long as she possibly could until she became nominated for the Secretary of State and had to admit these things. But instead of admitting them fully, she skirted around them until articles were written to expose it. Then she says, "Why, I'm surprised." In the New York Times in August, she said that if she remembers Serbian lullabies, and if her father were not a Czech first, he would have wanted to have been a Serb. Those are insults to someone who betrayed the Serbian people and who lied about her past and her connection with the Serbian people.
We're talking with Bill Doric, who is the author of Kosovo. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. Bill, can we look ahead to what your perceptions of the future hold for this area of the world?
Well, I predict that because the KLA has gotten away with this trashy movement and that the United States fully supported it, armed it, gave them intelligence and the wherewithal to make it happen, that I think the Albanians' appetite for a greater Albania has not been quenched, that they're going to go on to take northern Greece, which will be next, then possibly Montenegro and Macedonia, and even possibly parts of Bulgaria. This has been their desire all along, and they have not hidden that. In fact, the American press has never written about this, but yet the European press continues to write about these goons and thugs and these Marxists. And this is what I think is going to happen. Now, they've just found out that if they kill enough people, blow up enough police cars with rocket launchers, and kill 205 policemen someplace else in the world, that they'll get away with it the next time, too, because we allowed these goons and thugs, including Osama bin Laden, to do this. Osama bin Laden, before he blew up our embassies, the CIA broke into the KLA offices in Tirana, Albania. And they took away a truckload of documents. 3 days later, the American CIA arrested three of Osama bin Laden's men. Bin Laden said, these men, by the way, were being trained as mercenaries to go into Kosovo. Bin Laden said, if you don't release these men, there will be a price to pay. The price was blowing up our embassies. Now we're in bed with Osama bin Laden and supporting his terrorist movement?
Well, we were in bed with Osama bin Laden when he was attacking the Russians in Afghanistan.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing new there. Bill, there's something that you keep referencing that I want to go back to. You keep calling the KLA Marxists, and
they were Marxists. Well, they were admitted Marxists.
Well, and my point being is that if the United States is pursuing this war in the Balkans, you know, I mean, the United States government does not do what it does to support socialists and Marxists. The U.S. government does what it does to support big business and capitalism.
Well, that's true, but the reason they had to destroy Serbia was because the Serbian government, the Yugoslav government, was a socialist government that was more prosperous economically than all of her capitalist neighbors. So that could not be allowed to stand.
Right.
If we were going to build an EU that was strong with one currency, we had to destroy the only socialist system on the continent.
Right, and I understand that, and I guess what that does is lead me to the point that says if the KLA truly are Marxist, then we're heading for a confrontation with
them, too.
Absolutely.
And by the way, tomorrow night in Washington, D.C., there is a Kosovo charity event in which Al Gore and his wife are the honorary chair people for this event, as is Mrs. Libby Dole. Cokie Roberts is going to be the master of ceremony. There are 22 ambassadors from around the world in attendance to this $10,000 a table banquet. There are probably 20 or 30 senators like Mitch McConnell, like Lieberman, like some of these Serbophobes who have been out in the media attacking and demonizing my people, who are going to be participating in this fundraising event for the Kosovo Albanian refugees. Well, what are they going to do for the 10 million Serbians whose children are going to die this winter because there's no water, there's no electricity, and there's no gas? Apparently, they don't give a damn, because that's what's behind this plot, is that we're willing to do to the Serbian people what we're doing to the Iraqi children, is starve them to death.
We've been speaking with Bill Dorich, author of Kosovo. Bill, we only have about a minute left. Is there a final thought that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Well, I think the people in the United States should rise up in opposition to Congressional Bill 1234, which is to name Yugoslavia a terrorist state. My people signed a peace agreement that was ratified by the Yugoslav Parliament. They deserve a Marshall Plan that the president lied about. He had no intentions of a Marshall Plan. In fact, he says he's not going to give them one red cent. So he lied to the American public a month ago when he says he was creating a Marshall Plan for the Serbian, for Kosovo. So I would ask people to call their congressman and tell them to not vote for Congressional Bill 1234, because it's inhuman.
Bill Dorich, author of the book Kosovo, thank you for joining us on the program today. That's it for this edition of the program. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. If you're interested in copies of this or other Full Logic Reverse programs, you can contact us via email at flr@jps.net or by telephone at area code 530-265-9462. Full Logic Reverse is produced at FLR Studios in Nevada City, California, USA. Our music is by Rick Payne. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.